From the word ghost, baby. And welcome back to From the Word Ghost, the paranormal podcast for believers and skeptics alike. I'm your host AJ, and every week I bring a brand new paranormal story to try and convince my skeptic co-host Jamie.
That's me!
Of all things paranormal. Before we get started in today's episode, we ask if you like the content, leave us a 5-star review. I stumbled a little bit there.
It's been a while since you've stumbled on that.
I know. Maybe it's because you put the new intro on the deck. And
oh, my fault. Okay. No,
it was very loud.
Yeah, my fault.
I feel
fault.
Like such an old man. Well, fucking turn that down, will you? Jesus Christ.
Look, Aaron, just be accept. A man. Look, don't lie about cables.
I have no excuse for that.
Accept your wrongdoings.
I accept them all. Clarification on that, ladies and gentlemen. I told Jamie I'd order a cable off of Amazon because I was doing an Amazon order.
Yeah.
Good friend, right?
We're in agreement.
We're in agreement here.
It's so you can hear. It's nothing to do with me. Great friend. I bought myself a Mars bar. Great friend.
And amongst doing my Amazon order, I forgot to order the cable. And I thought Jay might be mad at me if I tell him I forgot to order the cable. So I said, Amazon sent me the wrong cable, but it's okay. I bought the right cable from Pink.
And I was like, well, how has Amazon sent you the wrong cable? I literally sent you the link for the cable.
He just went, you didn't order it, did you? No, Jamie. No, I didn't. But here we are.
If you're going to lie about that, man, you're going to lie about something like ghosts. So you've become an unworthy source for me.
I mean, fair. I can't take anything away from you right now because I'm the bad friend. Anyway, now that part's gone, in today's episode we are checking out one of the inspirations for the 1970s movie that pioneered horror movies for years to come, The Exorcist. Now, we've covered one of the inspirations in our second ever episode, the Anna Uckland episode, but today we're looking at the exorcisms of Roland Doe or Ronald Hunkeller. Hunkeller.
Okay.
Hunkeller. We'll go with Hunkeller. Fuck it. Go on, Jay. What was she going to say?
Nothing.
Oh.
I'm waiting for you. That's what it says in the script, brother. It's you.
Oh, absolutely. You said something.
I said okay.
Oh, okay. Jay, as usual, I'm going to ask if you know anything about this young man or the inspiration of The Exorcist before we get into it.
I don't know anything about this one. I know that Anna Uckland we did in pretty full depth because we were starting out and you were still a spritely young writer.
With inspiration out the wazoo.
So I can only assume that this one is in full depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
The confidence oozing.
Jackie. Do you remember when Jackie Stallone, this is well off topic, do you remember when Jackie Stallone went on to Celebrity Big Brother and she had so much plastic surgery on her face that someone, when she walked in, went, oh my God, it's Jackie. And she looked at the camera and went, yeah, Jackie.
No.
Do you not remember?
No, but I'll have to look it up.
I'll have to get it up afterwards because it's hilarious. God rest her soul.
Jesus Christ.
Next week's episode is The Haunting of Jackie Stallone.
The Haunting of You by Jackie Stallone. She's pissed, man.
Oh, right, let's go. The happenings began.
Good stuff.
That's not even the fucking paragraph that starts
oh
it off
God,
either.
So bad.
Woo! Our story starts in 1949 in Washington, D.C., when a young man of 13 began displaying disturbing behaviour that was completely out of character for him. You guessed it, the young man was Ronald Hunkeller, later known as Roland Doe.
Let me tell you, I did not guess it. I had no clue. You could have said John Smith or something like that. I would have been the same to me. Why has his name changed as well?
It just changes over the years.
As all names do.
Yeah, I think
Roland... was once a sweet little Jim Bob.
I believe once the events of this story had happened, he changed his name legally to Roland Doe, the same as Anna Uckland changed her name after her exorcisms to keep her, you know, secrecy or what have you. She did die though, Jamie, so I'm going to leave that on the table.
They all died. This is like 1930.
She got fucking like, she got a cold and they sent her to a sanitation ward. Right, the happenings began after the death of his aunt Harriet. It's known that Roland had a great relationship with his aunt. She was apparently a very spiritual individual who believed in everything paranormal and having a deep connection with the spirits of those who had passed.
Anyone who says they believe in anything paranormal is a bad
crazy
to me.
Absolute nutbag. I'm pro paranormal.
Yeah,
but even some things I look at it and I go, really?
Yeah, that's a bit like pig man, you say? Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about that one.
Listen, I'm on board with pig man 100%. I'm on the Facebook page, the pig man is real Facebook page and all sorts.
Of course you are. Of course you are. I expect nothing less. I just imagine like someone like this to watch Casper the Ghost and go, Stinky? Stinky is real. That Stinky and Fatso, man, you got to beware of them.
Oh, I cannot wait to play the Casper PS1 game. I cannot fucking wait.
Oh, mate, it's so boring. I can wait. I can wait, Fred.
I mean, it did not look good when we was watching the clips last week. But it's just one of those. I'm like, this is a childhood game, and it fits the podcast, sort of.
I was thinking about Casper since then, and
I've got Casper on my mind, bro.
I've had a thought. Like, do you think that... The other ghost was such a dick to Casper because Casper had just a perfectly normal name. He was Casper. And the rest of them was just fucking insults.
Their parents named them amply out of the womb. Just like, you're going to stink. I could just look at you and go, you're going to fucking stink the house up.
Why do you hate me so much? Well, because I'm called Lil Dick. And your name's fucking John. What do you think?
Your older brother's called Humongous Dick, and I get stuck with the shittest name ever. Fuck's sake.
That would be enough to piss me off, let me tell you.
Yeah. Should we just do a Casper day where we watched the 80s cartoon?
Hell yeah.
We played a PlayStation game and we watched the 90s film. Yeah. I'm so down for that. The best Sunday.
Let's do
ever.
It.
Ever.
Me, Casper, Stinky, Fatso, Little Dick.
Everyone's warm
under the covers.
Fatso's getting the hot wings, obviously. Stinky's getting the onion and chive dip.
Yeah, and what's Little Dick getting? Crabs.
I'll leave that to you, dear listeners, but crabs, absolutely. Right. I guess back to the story. It feels a lot less interesting now that I have Casper on the brain. Harriet took Roland under her wings from a young age and passed all her knowledge of the spiritual world over to him, including how to use a Ouija board. After Harriet's death, of an evening, Roland would begin to hear strange sounds coming from all over the house. It started with scratching sounds coming from the windows, floors and walls within his room. Over time, this evolved into the pipes running through his room to leak excessive amounts of water at the same time every night. And then, eventually, around 2 a.m., each night his mattress would move as if someone was pulling on it aggressively.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why the pipes are leaking at this time every evening. Turns the tap on and runs the bath. I'm just taking my nightly bath. 40 plumbing? No. The bubble bath demon. My auntie told me so.
It's just someone fucking with Roland's dad while he's in the shower. Downstairs turning the tap on and off just like, hot, cold, ah! The good old days when piping was fucked.
Hell yeah,
and
baby.
Taking a shower, you took a shower at the risk of getting third degree fucking burns. This caused Roland, who was usually calm and logical during the day, to begin to display aggressive and uncharacteristic behaviour of an evening. After questioning Roland, his parents chose to speak to multiple medical professionals as they feared that a lack of sleep and trauma of losing his aunt may be affecting his mental state. Smart parents, to be fair.
I mean, with the stories you usually bring, anything that's not cutting straight to demonic possession is smart. Parents can throw out the most ridiculous accusations like, he's just suffering from a Freaky Friday. He swapped bodies. I'd be like, that's a smart parent. Didn't go for ghosts.
Already they have got like the gold medal over Anna Uckland's parents where they was like, you're smutty. Called her nuns. Take her to the tower. And perform multiple exorcisms on her.
I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get to that point, so I don't know how much further along the chain of evolution they are, right? Yeah,
well,
we are going that way, right? Otherwise, this is going to be some shit.
Turns
story.
Out, Roland was just crazy.
Turns out it was rickets all along.
Fuck's sake, yeah.
Not a ghost story, but scary nonetheless. Join us next week.
After they couldn't get answers from psychiatrists and doctors due to finding nothing out of the ordinary during their testing, the family sought the help of their local minister.
Your parents becoming a little less smart. You can see it. I feel like the dad's walking down the stairs and he's like, oh, you know, it's got to be a total logical explanation. Bump, hits his head. Maybe we should just give it an exorcism.
I know, I reckon it's all the mum. I reckon the dad's sitting there just on the rocking chair. He don't give a fuck. Yeah. He's like, yes, dear.
Yeah, do what you want. It's
whatever.
Like,
can we not do it on the weekend, though? So I can take a day off work.
The game is on Sunday, so if we can plan it around that.
Even he had no answers for the family and instead suggested that if the hospital couldn't help, then they should try therapists or even more experimental treatment for the young man. But the family begged the minister to help them, seeing him as their last help. The minister went against his initial advice and put the family in touch with Father Albert Hughes, the local Catholic priest, so he could monitor Roland and make his own decision on whether or not the outbursts were that of a demonic or spiritual nature. It only took one meeting, however. Father Albert was convinced that the young man was being pursued by a demonic presence and he feared for the young man's safety. Father Albert just like straight up demon.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't even a face-to-face meeting, it was just a Zoom call. the second the phone rang, it was like, demon, yeah, demon.
He fucking caught Roland trying to sort his mic out. And like, as he's answered the call, just like, fucking piece of shit, fucking cunt in fucking mic. Oh, hi, Father Albert. I've seen enough.
What I want to know is how much would an exorcism set me back? Because are the priests getting a cut? Because if so, I feel like that explains the whole thing to me.
You know what? Let's take it to Reddit. How much do exorcism cost? That's
do,
got
do,
an anime
How much fact. Do exorcism cost? Yeah. How much I trust this guy, I tell you.
Not getting any fucking serious answers from Reddit, but I can't say I'm surprised. Someone said tree fiddy.
What, £350?
Yeah, tree
titty. Per exorcism.
But they actually wrote about tree fiddy.
Tree fiddy. Well, if it's £350 for an exorcism, it doesn't surprise me. You'd go to your priest with a tickly throat and they'd be like, exorcism.
With that in mind, Father Albert asked the Catholic Church for permission to perform an exorcism on the young boy. The church agreed to the exorcism, and so Father Albert went to work. Roland was strapped to his bed and the prayers began. It didn't take long for Roland to have a negative reaction to the exorcism. He began to convulse and enter a trance-like state at first. Then roughly halfway through the recitation, he broke one arm free of his restraints.
The kid's like 13, what's it, fucking teenage Brock Lesnar? What are we talking here?
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm glad you remembered that.
Oh, right, yeah.
I couldn't. And the only theme song that ran through my head was Chris Benoit's. And I was like, I can't sing that one. No. We cannot.
Listen. It only takes one arm to a fucking...
No. Manual beep. Manual beep. Beep.
He broke a mattress spring and ripped it from the mattress. With one slashing motion... He cut Father Albert across the shoulder, and with that, the prayers were halted.
I love the way Father Albert gets hurt and he's like, oh, whoa, 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 halt the process, we're stopping it right now. I don't care if you get injured or you starve to death, but me? I'm not for this shit. You deal with your trauma. I mean, demons.
I'm fine with you throwing me out the mouth. I'm fine with you breaking my restraints. but you cut my goddamn best jacket, man. You're a piece of shit. Fight the devil yourself, Roland. How's about that? Over the following days, the family and the priest both discovered scratches all over the young man's body. And in one area, it looked as though the scratches spelled out Louis. Roland's mother took this as a sign to seek out the family help in St. Louis.
That's such a stretch. Oh my God, that scratch looks like it says Mitch. Well, boys, looks like we're taking this exorcism on tour to Michigan. Load up the van.
Fuck nuts. Let's go.
Get also, the tunes ready. Also, just exorcism theme tune on repeat for 30 hours.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm fucking pumped. I'm fucking pumped.
Road trip.
Also, when I wrote that, in my head, I read it as Lois. And then afterwards, it was like Peter Griffin was scratching.
Would make the story a hell of a lot better.
It would, yeah. Yeah, cracking. And so the family left for St. Louis instantly and spoke with Roland's cousin, who was studying at St. Louis University at the time. She put the family in touch with Father Holleran and Reverend Bowden. These two then decided they were the men for the job and chose to exorcise the young man themselves. At Roanoke Drive, the exorcisms commenced once again, with Holleran, Bowden, and a group of three volunteers from the university. Instantly, the team knew things were worse than they originally thought. Imagine that, dragging students into this. It'll help your final grade, I promise.
I'll give you extra credit. If you just let the demon in, we'll give you extra credit. It'll be like two minds studying.
You might get lucky. He might be a smart demon.
He might help
you
math.
Might help you with your SATs. How about that? Getting your doctorate via fucking demonology.
The demon just enters and you're like, okay, demon, we got to do this maths test. Oh, sorry, I studied English literature. Fuck!
Oh my god!
No! Wrong one!
It's like How High but demons. I fucking love How High. They were seeing the same things that were happening in the previous exorcism. The boy's body would come out with hundreds of scratches. He would convulse, enter a trance-like state, and even begin to make sounds described as monstrous. But now things were beginning to kick up a notch. And while praying, the team would notice things fly across the room, as well as Roland now displaying aggressive and repulsive behaviour wherever a religious object was around him. The boy's chest that night scratched as usual. However, this time the word 10 was scratched in deeply.
Quick, pack your bags. We must go to Tennessee. That's what? Their thought process, right?
Back on the road, boys. Fill the car up with some gas. Put the weed in the trunk. Grab snacks. Everyone got snacks. Seatbelts on. We're going to Tennessee. Halt the prayers, guys. Jay, crank the fucking radio. Let's go.
What's that song from? I don't know. The film's not out yet.
Could be something.
It's based on us, so...
Shut the fuck up. We might get some royalties soon. Play your fucking cards right and don't die. Oh, dear. This indicated to Holleran and Bowden that Roland was being possessed by 10 demons. Because why not? The exorcisms happened daily and had no success whatsoever, and the demons possessing Roland felt compelled to tell the priests of their failures. During a routine exorcism... a routine exorcism.
I just come on for your routine exorcism. Yeah, I come every 6 months.
I was gonna say, I've got my annual next week.
This is just, was it a PSA? Applied PSA for everyone listening at home. Make sure you get your routine exorcism. Okay?
If you ask your doctor nicely, they might be able to pencil it in after your prostate exam.
If you're good, they'll give you a lollipop at the end, okay?
There's nothing better than a Thursday when you get fingered and exercised.
Maybe you do it at the same time. Just try and claw the demons out of you.
The old fishhook up the ass. Jesus Christ. During a routine exorcism, Roland sat bolt upright after entering his usual trance-like state. His eyes were rolled to the back of his head, and his head was crooked.
That's usually what happens when I get my prostate exam. Boom!
Oh.
It isn't. I've never had a prostate exam.
Have you not?
No. Have you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's probably not best for the podcast. We might have a conversation.
We'll cut this out.
I don't trust you to cut it out. But it felt like the geezer was up to his wrists. At one point, I'm sure I could feel a watch.
Jesus Christ.
He said he never felt a gravitational pull towards a bum hole like he did mine. A too healthy a prostate, some would say. Oh, people are learning too much about me on this book. I need to be a robot. You know what, Jay? I liked it. Jesus Christ.
Let's move on, shall we? Should we just put that as a side note? Come back to that later with your therapist, mate.
Oh, fucking hell. Funny enough, it's the same guy.
It's also my uncle.
My therapy sessions seem to be going a lot like my prostate exams recently.
In deep.
Oh, in deep. I've gone too deep. Oh, fucking hell. There's going to be fucking fan art of that one day. He smiled at Holleran and said, "Satan is here with us and he isn't letting go of this one. Satan, our king, is here and this soul is ours."
So the exorcisms aren't working. Why is Satan adding insult to injury? Surely he's got a busy, full diary. Why is he taking his time just to taunt a priest?
You know what I mean? That's like being up 5-0 and then bringing on fucking prime Christian Ronaldo.
Just winks at the camera as he comes up.
Breaks
the fourth wall.
Oh, Jesus. The priests were frightened to their core, but in an instant, Holleran cried out for St. Michael to rid Satan from within this boy. Roland entered heavy and aggressive convulsions. He screamed at the top of his lungs before dropping back to his pillow. When he opened his eyes again, his eyes were filled with tears as he looked at Holleran and Bowden. "St. Michael saved me. They fought on the most amazing battlefield. St. Michael and the devil, and he beat him. He drove him off." That was the last exorcism that Roland had to endure, and the family moved back to the east side, where eventually Roland grew up and had a wife and son, a son he called Michael after his saviour. So Jay, what's your thoughts on this one? Maybe not as dramatic as Anna's exorcism, but both of which had Satan front and centre, you know? The guy, Satan, the boy.
Yeah, coming from the big leagues to play in fucking League 2. Yeah, you know,
from the NBA to China, baby.
Listen, man, it's okay. Anna's was much better, let's be honest, right?
I think Anna's was a lot darker because it was fucked, Anna's one.
Yeah, I mean, better, probably not the right word. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was messed up. This one didn't go for as long. Like, Anna's went over years and, like, a shitload of fucking exorcisms.
Yeah, they fucking made tons of free fitties on that one, I tell you.
Oh, mate, them tree fitties add up after a while.
Do I think that Satan came down to mock the priest about one teen that was possessed? Only
he came down.
He came. Oh,
Jamie.
Controversial.
Jamie, the Christians are listening.
He came up.
That's better.
Do I think Satan came up from the depths of hell to just taunt a priest about one possessed boy? No, I don't. Who's Saint Michael?
Saint Michael was the one that ridded Lucifer. He got rid of Lucifer
before. This is the sequel. That's what you're telling me.
All this exorcism is a fucking mindless callback. Like when like when Star Wars 7, they brought back Han Solo and Chewbacca. They didn't need to.
Look,
just to kill Han.
I'm
not over it, Jay.
Calm down.
I'm sorry, but fucking Disney.
He's still alive in here.
In my heart. I don't want to put down the story because it is still a good story. If it is true, then that's scary as fuck. Having 10 demons in you and witness it. How cool would that, that fucking just
sounds
be?
Like Aaron's prostate exams.
10 horny doctors enter a room.
It's a routine exorcism for Aaron.
What do you call 10 horny doctors in a room? Aaron's prostate exam. Fucking hell. That's the NHS for you.
Right. Shall we end it there?
I think we'll have to.
Yeah.
Right. Jay, no. If you want to be our next listener's story and save the podcast, Jay, where can I send their listener's story to, please?
You can send your story to fromthewordghost@gmail.com or, like Aaron's doctor, slide his fist out.
What have I done? I'm like Anakin Skywalker after killing Mace Windu. What have I done?
You can slide into our Instagram DMs.
Slide, slide, slide.
3, 2, 1.
Whee! Turn around and cough, please. That is going to do it for us From the Word Ghost. Join us next week and we'll continue to explore the unknown together. Good night.
Good night.